You know, I entitled my message for the online service Silent Sinning. And you think, what in the world is that? And I had to kind of come to terms with that title when I was putting it together, because I know myself, I sin sometimes silently. Now, I don't think any of us like to sin, but it happens. And sometimes our thoughts are just as sinful as when we speak the word or something like that, because we all have things that go on within us that we don't like. But, you know, you got the devil. He can't read your mind, but he can play tricks on your mind. God can know your mind. He created us, and he knows everything about us. That's why Jesus said it's okay to go into your prayer closet and spill your guts, so to speak, because God already knows. And it makes it easier to repent and to accept grace and love and forgiveness whenever we take it directly to God. He already knows, and he is so pleased to let us confess our sins to him. Well, our scripture text this week is another one of Jesus' parables. And it's the parable about the tax collector and the Pharisee. And if you read that story about the Pharisee, I think there's some statements that just lets us know about his piety. If you remember, Tina gave a good message a couple weeks ago about the life in piety. And I have to say that we need to think about the person that says about themselves and what they say is true. For instance, when the Pharisee said to the Lord, "Well, I thank you that I'm not like them other people, Lord." indeed, he wasn't like the other people. He had a standard of morality that was far above the standard for that day. Because when he said, "I fast twice a week." Well, that happens to be literally true, because the Pharisees fasted on Mondays and Thursdays of every week. And when he said, "I give tithes of all my possessions," he means he tithes on his gross, not the net. Because then he was going beyond the law of Moses. That's no big deal at all, but the Pharisees did that. And when he said, "I am not a crook," he really isn't a crook. And when he said, "I am not like this old filthy tax collector over here," he's really not like that guy. And when he said, "I do not commit adultery," he really doesn't commit adultery. He is very faithful to his wife. And when he said, "I am honest, I am faithful, I am zealous for my religion," what he means is that every word of it is true. He truly is a good man, genuine, a man of God. So what are we to understand then when he prayed that he was telling the truth? When he said, "Lord, you're lucky to have a guy like me, because I'm one of the best guys, you know." And it's really true. He was a wonderful guy. And when he prayed, people would be standing around and watching. That would they like that. "Oh, yeah, he's a fine man." While he prayed, and they most likely even applauded. He was, you know, the kind of good guy that you want living next door. Good citizen, law-abiding man, a good religious person, kind. And if he went to our church, we would probably love him, because he would be faithful and loyal, give us a lot of money, and we'd probably make him an elder or a deacon or a lay leader, you know, put him on a good committee, because he's just the kind of guy that he looks like on the outside. And everything he says about himself must be absolutely true. So what's wrong with that picture? Well, for all his goodness, he isn't perfect. Nobody is perfect. And the law requires perfection. That's why we can't keep it. Did you ever notice the Ten Commandments? Boy, boy, I don't know of anybody that could keep them except Jesus. But I like to call this a narcissistic righteousness. What good is all that law if you don't have love. Yeah, say you could keep it, but if you don't have love, it's like the Apostle Paul says, you're just nothing but a loud banging of cymbals. Without love, you just don't have it. But in the center of your righteousness, you miss the center a lot of times, and that center is love. God said to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, there's a lot of things to think about in these parables that Jesus taught, and it's hard. There ain't no doubt about it. It is hard to stay on top of that and to be honest, and pride kind of has a way of entering in. And we just go through this life. I like that phrase that says about humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. I think you can find that over in James, in chapter 7, I believe. And it's just interesting about humility. Now, I know I'm rambling today, just thinking. But humility is not effacing oneself. It's not destroying one's own self-worth. That's not what humility is all about. It's honest recognition of your own worth. You see, our worth as God sees it. But sometimes pride enters in, and it elevates us above others, and often sometimes even above God. But to destroy one's sense of self-worth is also unacceptable, for it denies the value that God has placed upon us when He created us in His image, and when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Christ did not die for worms, but for people. He loves us so much that those people who have great worth in His eyes is you and I, the one He created in His own image. So, humble ourselves and be gracious and know that we're not perfect, but we serve the perfect one. Well, we have an awful lot of prayer requests, a lot of things that are going on in the church and our society. We have elections coming up. There's some voter guides that are put out by a lot of people who interviewed the candidates and so forth and ask them a lot of questions. Those questions are there and their answers. And you can take a look at some of those people. We have those voter guides in the Narthex if you're interested in them. And Travis's sister, Rita, is on our prayer line. They had called hospice in. And most of you have had a family member that had hospice called in. You know that's almost coming towards the end of what we call life in this world, on this side of heaven. And so we ask that you pray for Travis. He's become the caregiver for the family since his mom and dad both are safely home with the Lord. And his family looks to him for comfort and support in the physical sense. The good news is they all have a relationship with God, all of his family. So that's kind of good. But keep Travis in prayer as he tries to minister to his sister. And Judy has a friend, a good friend that she grew up with. Her brother is also he's pretty much on his last days too. God always performs miracles, though. I say that last days, we really and truly don't know. But the most important thing is to encourage one another in the faith, to pray for one another, and to just be there for folks. Because God blesses humble people, and we should be humble. We want to be humble. He blesses humble people. And humility is also the path to greatness. Oh, how great thou art, O Lord. Joy and joy. So with that, we have a lot of prayer requests in the bulletin, and those Phil keeps us up to date with ones we know about, but there's always some we don't know about. And even if we do lift them up verbally, there's always some that are not lifted up verbally, and we know that God hears them too. Intercessory prayer is an important part of our faith. And we pray for people that we don't even know about, the prayer of intercession. But come to church. You know, we need each other. We need to encourage one another. And if you haven't been to church recently, I know we got out of the habit because of COVID and all that. But, you know, people need the Lord, as that wonderful song says, and we need each other. We need each other in so many ways. The disciples realized that the Lord was real special to them, and they also realized that he prayed a lot. And they wanted to know if we could pray like you pray, Lord. He said, yeah, you can. Let me give you a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with as we pray the prayer Jesus taught to close this segment. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in and let me ramble today. I hope you got something out of it. Sometimes I just ramble and maybe nobody gets anything out of it, but I preach myself happy because I have the love of God in my heart. And no matter what, I am a happy, happy person in Jesus. Amen. I hope you are too.